Hey, everybody, and welcome back to ProAV Today. If you've been following the show for a while, you know how much we love trade shows. And even especially as we came out of the pandemic, it really was a way to see people and get to meet people in person. And it's one of the things that continues to drive our industry forward, not only from a networking perspective, which is obviously a great value, but from an industry conversation and education standpoint. And one of the shows that does that best in our industry, if not the best in our industry, is a show called ISE, Integrated Systems Europe, in Barcelona every year. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that show today, but also talk about how the industry is evolving as a whole and how shows like ISE continue to be such an important part of the landscape of our industry. And to have that conversation today, I've got my guest, Mike Blackman, Managing Director for ISE. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben. Looking forward to our discussion.
Well, Mike, I got to ask, right? We've got to start with a shameless plug, and I'm fine with that, right? ISE, an unbelievable show. I think the biggest, quote-unquote, ProAV or audiovisual or integrated technology show in the world, serving so many different communities from, you know, the residential installation community to the AV community to the IT community, security, live events, everybody in between. Can you summarize it for us? Can you do that?
We are the biggest AV and systems integration event in the world. We cover all aspects of audiovisual solutions, installations, et cetera, from residential right up to large commercial AV installations. We have exhibitors. We have more than 1,600 exhibitors covering all aspects of that. We've got seven, because the show is so big, we've themed it and split the hall. So we've got a hall which is dedicated to residential and smart building, one for education technology. We've got a hall which is dedicated to pro audio, one for digital out of home and digital signage, one for broadcast AV, one for live events. And then we got the halls which are just everything thrown in, you know, because you got companies like Crestron or Samsung who do everything, and we had to find some way to pigeonhole them.
You know, Mike, it's interesting, and I love that you kind of talk about the way that the halls are structured. Obviously, a lot of our audience is familiar with the show like ISE, but it's a great place for people maybe who don't traditionally get the opportunity to go to shows like ISE or Infocom or I'll loop in shows like CES, don't yell at me, but it's a great place for folks really to come and learn about verticalized technologies, right? And that's one of the conversations that continues to drive our industry forward, is that verticalized focus, right? Because I don't think it's an understatement to say that historically as an industry, we like to have conversations with each other, and that's fine sometimes, but especially post-COVID, vertical applications and new audiences and IT managers and security and live events and all these different people that historically haven't been part of the AV community are now part of that community. And it's such an incredible place for people to learn. How do you approach attendees like that for the first time who maybe aren't part of what I would say the normal, you know, handshakers coming in, know everybody?
I mean, the first thing is those guys have become aware of what AV is because they've suddenly woken up to the fact that it's important for them. You know, it used to be a lot of companies used to push the AV. You know, you talked about AV, so I talked to our IT guys. It just got pushed into that little hole. Now, I think more and more companies, more and more senior managers are recognizing AV as its own domain. But they also realize that these things need to talk to each other. As long as, you know, since most AV solutions are running on network, it means the IT guys have to be involved and it's become part of that as well. How do we approach it? Well, the first thing we did, I mentioned already that we have separated the show into separate sections. The show is just too big. It's 4 days and it's too big for you to get around the whole show in 4 days. So what we do, we give some guidance and say, look, if your specialist area is higher education, then start off with this hall. And then there's a listing of all the companies in the other halls who cover education technology. And that way you can actually focus on the first place on the stuff which is the most important to you. Then you can look at everything else. For those companies who are covering everything and they come with 20 people, say, don't go around the crowd, split up. split the show up between you, and each of you dedicate areas which you're going to look at, and come back together later and say, hey, we should all go and look at this, or we should all go and look at that. So we're trying to help, to give guidance, to shrink the show in terms of necessity. But the great thing about ISE is, because of its size and because of its expansive coverage, it's good to discover new things. It's good to actually say, well, you know, this is what I'm interested in. This is what I'm focused on. But now I've got some time. Let me go and look at that, or let me go and look at this. So it gives the opportunity for you to think beyond where you are. So that's how we approach new people. Now, the other part we do is our content program. We've got a whole series of educational tracks, training, keynotes, conferences on different subject matter, smart building, education, smart working. There's a whole list. If you go to our website, www.iseurope.org, then go and look under content, and you'll see the whole covering. And that's good for anybody coming in the first time to actually get some independent information about specific subject areas and subject matter, to get a bit of a foothold on the market before you go and look everywhere else. Now, what we've done this year for the first time, because we looked and said, AI is such a theme at the moment, so important amongst others. How do we let people choose if they say, well, I just want to find out how AI touches AV. So what we've got in almost all of the different tracks, we've got themes on AI. You can actually say, I just want to cover AI. And your conference pass can take you to the different AI tracks in each conference. So there's a lot where you can get independent information, knowledge, keynotes, thought leadership on the themes, to learn a little bit about the industry before exploring all the exhibitors.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned AI, right? And that's sort of the topic du jour, and has been for sort of the last year or two. But the reason why is it really is its own sort of educational track, and there's so much to learn, right? Because there's different applications, and there's a difference between machine learning and what you would call AI versus, you know, conditional logic and all the different things like that. And as our industry evolves, we have to be able to have those conversations and teach, because increasingly what you see is, as people come into the industry and as people come to, whether it's our integrator partners, manufacturer, service provider partners, they come to us asking questions about it. We have to be the subject matter experts. So in a lot of cases, it feels like these education tracks are just as much for us, when I say us, people who've been in the industry for a while, as they are for people who may be coming in kind of cold turkey for the first time.
Yeah, no, I mean, sure. We're trying to educate, advise, inform, not only those people who are new to the market, but those people who are been there a while, because, learning doesn't stop. And when we look at what I love about this industry, it doesn't stop moving. It's progressing the whole time. So it doesn't matter how long you've been involved, there's always something new that you can learn about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I want to talk larger kind of 2025, right? ISE really for a lot of people is the official kickoff of the year, which launches them into the rest of 2025. And, you know, you've got a couple anchor shows along the way there, but really for a lot of folks, it's a reset. From a topic perspective, I know you mentioned AI, but what are some of the conversations that really are driving the industry this year?
Well, cloud is a major topic still. AI, cloud, I think they're the hot topics. We saw last year, which is a continuing thread still, which is curve-led and transparent-led. It's changing the way architects and designers can work. Esports, still a hot theme. I know it's been old hat in the US for a long time, but even that is evolving. We're seeing, I think in the US, the market is very much covered by college, whereas in Europe, you see it's more the professional teams. So it's still a hot theme. There's still developments, there's still transformation happening there. So I think there are a lot of really, really good topics there. We are bringing in digital art and immersive experiences. We've been doing this for a number of years as well, but this is becoming even more sophisticated. One of the things we love to do at ISE is show the creative part of AV. So we bring in digital artists. We actually, one of the things we've done, we take the show outside of the venue. So there's several things that happen. One is we've organized tech tours into facilities around the city to show AV in situ, to show really good installations being used in real life. So we got several of those going to museums, to gaming centers, to broadcast studios, museums, etc. And then we've got, adding to that, we actually do a projection mapping in the city pre-show. So the Saturday and Sunday before the show, we have a mapping happening on Casabatio. Casabatio is that Gaudi building. It was built by Gaudi, and it's a phenomenal, very interesting building. We started this collaboration with them 4 years ago with Rafik Anadol. Did 2 years with Rafik. Last year we had Sofia Crespo. And this year we have David Coyola, who's a digital artist, and he's going to be showing how he uses AV as a lens for creating digital art. And he's going to be one of our keynotes. So we're showing that side of it as well. And then what we've got is a couple of digital artists. So last year we installed on the facade of Fiera Gran Via, a transparent curved LED screen, almost 200 square meters. So 200 would be 2,000 square feet on the facade of Fiera Gran Via. And it's used for information, signage, etc. But in the evening, we turn into a creative window. Each evening, we've got a digital artist from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday presenting on that screen to exhibitors and to attendees and the general public. So that's another part of it and how we sort of take the show a little bit outside of the venue.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I love that you mentioned sort of that creator-led vision. So I'm going to step back and talk U.S. for a second. So there's a show in the U.S. called NAB, National Association of Broadcasters. And it's been interesting to see the evolution of that show because in a lot of ways it really parallels our industry. So I would say 10, 15 years ago, very technical, very engineer-led, very much about hardware. And what happened is that there was a pretty dramatic pivot to creator centricity, right? About simplifying processes, about bringing people into the industry who had great ideas and making or really removing technology as a barrier in it becoming a tool, right? Our industry has seen a lot of the same things where simplicity actually in a lot of ways is what's driving our industry forward because it's empowering the creatives. It's empowering the designers. We're having conversations about immersive experience and UI and UX. How much of that do you see coming to our industry, that renewed shift and kind of focus on that creator-led conversation?
Well, it's funny you mentioned NAB, and we look at how broadcast has become more and more part of AV, or AV's become more part of broadcast. You know, gone are the huge studios, gone are the huge equipment. I mean, you can make a movie on an iPhone now.
Look, we're both sitting in offices and apartments.
But it's changed. I mean, I think one of the turning things of The Mandalorian, you know, and how they shot that, we're using virtual studios. And what you're seeing nowadays is more and more of the TV companies, broadcast companies, film makers are going to these smaller studios using AI-led tools like the Unreal Engine to actually create film and TV and advertising. And this is where the creativity becomes less constrained. I think that's what's making this so exciting now, that you're seeing, firstly, the cost of production reducing and the level of creation increasing. You know, no longer do they have to take everybody out to a desert to shoot a movie. They can do it in a small room.
Right. Well, you're right. And part of that, too, like you mentioned, it really is the convergence of a lot of those different lanes, and I would call them tentacles of the AV industry, right? live events is one that's really been there for a long time, obviously, with concerts and touring, and now broadcast really has found its way in. Now you're seeing folks like IT, obviously, and now access control and security, and now we're talking about the creative and immersive experience side of things. It continues to shape where our industry is going, right? Having all these new ideas and this fresh, really the fresh blood come in. You know, what are some of these other verticals where you're seeing kind of an emergence in the industry right now? Is it places like healthcare, hospitality, or even maybe some extra ones?
We're seeing more and more AV in hospitality. And again, I think that's become part of the opportunity on cost and just seeing efficiency. I think many years ago when you went to a hotel and sat and talked about AV, they point you towards the in-room movies. And now you'll see digital signage around the whole facilities. And even here, you're seeing AV being used as part of the decoration. A number of hotels where they put large video walls in the lobbies be part of their CI and create not just as information, but decoration or entertainment. You're seeing this in restaurants. I've been to a restaurant here recently as well, where instead of pictures around the walls, they've got short throw projectors showing digital art. So people are becoming more creative and encompassing that in more and more sectors. Retail, if you go down the major shopping streets here, you'll find some stores where the AV becomes more forefront than the products that are using the AV to feature their fashion shows and show things in a more animated way. As one store has a digital mannequins, you know, you stand in front of the mirror and you try on the clothes virtually. Is that going to be the future of retail? When you don't, you know, A1 locations, you don't need them to be so large for and have stock rooms or things like this. And, you know, everything's done or a lot is done in a digital way. Part of it, I think, is a reaction to the pandemic, where retail had to suddenly become experiential to get people back into the stores and away from online shopping. So there are a lot of things which have changed. I think there are a lot of different sectors, different verticals, which are adopting AV now and seeing the significance and possibilities that they have. And then you've also got the very creative people involved in actually bringing solutions there and make it interesting for them.
Yeah. Well, I love hearing about all these places that our industry is expanding, especially really to kick the year off in 2025. I know for a lot of folks, 24 was a tricky year, right? Because there was a lot of industry evolution and rebounding recovery, and certain industries said, hey, we can simplify this and we don't need this exact solution that we've needed before. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, it sort of was a tough year, but I think 2025 really represents, for me, at least my opinion, is a year of opportunity. And I think that starts at ISC, that starts with asking the right questions, meeting the new folks. And obviously it's a global show. It's not just a European specific show. So there's an opportunity to do that across all sorts of different regions, languages, geographies, and places like that. And
we have attendees from we have exhibitors from all over the world, Europe, Asia, North America, China, India, you name it, we're covering there. We have attendees from more than 160 different countries. It's truly a global event in terms of where people come from and you know, how that exchange happens as well.
Yeah. Well, and as we globalize too, it's important to understand those different perspectives because our you know, especially as you know, if I'm a U.S. or global-based company, I'm going to have an office globally. I'm going to have an office here in the States. So you need to have those conversations to make sure that they work together. Last question, I talked about sort of how 25 is the year of opportunity. You know, what words of encouragement would you give to folks in the industry who say, hey, man, you know, 24 was an interesting year, but 2025 could be that year of opportunity. What would you say to someone like that?
I think we're in such an exciting industry that offers so much creativity that there are many, many opportunities. We may see a little slowdown. I think there has been some slowdown, but despite that, people are still buying. AV is evolving so much that it gives us so many opportunities to offer different solutions.
Absolutely, it does. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, I know that ISC is going to be an unbelievable show, and 2025 really is going to, in my opinion, be a banner year for our industry, especially as we continue to serve some of those new markets and really continue to innovate and reach those creator communities and folks across all sorts of different disciplines. Mike, I'll tell you what, it was fantastic to have you on the show. Now, I look forward to seeing you out there, and I know that there's going to be some great business done. And until then, we'll see you then.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for having me, and everybody listening, look forward to seeing you at ISE in a couple of weeks' time, 4th to the 7th of February in Barcelona.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mike, and thank you all for tuning in and listening. Be sure to like and subscribe and check us out next time on Pro AV Today.